This one is called The Pants. Take 8.
Yoga.
Woo. Welcome to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed, the best-looking guys on the radio. We all know the funniest things happen when we stop taking ourselves too seriously and step out boldly, like Mr. Magoo blindly stepping onto the next swinging girder and falling into an outrageous jackpot. Your hosts, Daryl and Ed, are about to administer a refreshing dose of laughter and love that will inspire you to step out boldly and experience the funniest things. Now, here are your hosts, Daryl and Ed.
Welcome to The Funniest Thing.
Yes.
Where each week we share stories about how stepping out boldly always leads to better than expected outcomes.
Thank God.
I'm Daryl.
I'm Ed.
And we're broadcasting live from
Ed's house
in beautiful Santa Monica.
Yes, and today's show is called Trusting Your Gut is Trusting God with the amazing artist Krista McAvina. Conscience is your higher power working to steer you toward your authentic life. Our conscience can be considered synonymous with intuition. That's what we're talking about. It's our extrasensory perception, our sixth sense. We all have it, and we've all felt it, nudging us to follow its lead. However, trusting it takes a leap of faith. God's guidance seems at times as too good to be true, too risky. We often justify and rationalize why it's best to ignore the leading. The good news is, our inner guide will never leave us astray. Let's remind ourselves that these joyful nudges and gentle leadings are directing us to great gifts, our heart's desires. On this episode, Daryl and Ed remind us all that conscience makes us responsible for bringing life through action to spiritual principles. And during the second segment, miracle-minded Krista McAvina gets us to trust God more and fear less with today's reading, which is Tuned In. Bringing life through action to these spiritual principles that we're talking about is the key to everything. We're not just sitting here talking about it. We really have to do what Charles Fillmore and many other teachers have called making your life your laboratory.
Yes, and following our conscience does bring life to spiritual principles through actions, because it takes a leap of faith to trust that leaving a certain thing or changing direction or trying something new that seems silly is God's will.
Yeah, and acting in ways that you might not think of as, that's not the way I act. Or, you know, we have this voice. The other thing is when our subconscious mind is so used to thinking about ourselves in a certain way and we have to break free from that, it takes courage, it takes faith. It also takes excitement and enthusiasm and a recognition that I was talking to my wife about this the other day, because there's stuff happening, changing with her job, and you know, and I'm thinking about what I might do, and it's like I was saying, it's thank God we study this stuff and practice this stuff, because as we always talk about, if you can if you try to live life by controlling these surface level things like jobs and relationships, you'll never get anywhere. Because it's too stressful and you're going to burn out. The thing is, once you start to understand that life itself is always carrying you in the right direction and trust that that's what's going on, then the whole game changes.
I think he ran away.
Oh, good. Did you see who it was?
I did not. I didn't see.
All right, well, that's what happens when you're at Ed's house. I think he said, that rings a bell. And so that's good news.
Now, our Patreon people, we want to thank all of you.
Yeah, yeah. This was actually from last week, but yes, thank you all for contributing to the show and letting us do what we do and do what we love to do, and then pass it on to other people. I just met a guy today who just started listening to our show and loves it. And again, this show is about retraining our minds to think along constructive lines and to act on inspiration rather than that desperation and that stressful voice that chokes it out because it says it's too risky. But really, that voice that we were often trained as safe is not safe. And that is the voice that's actually, we get sick, our relationships break down, because if we're not happy and full of the enthusiasm that comes with following our spirit, nothing's going to work right. Nothing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, are you ready for a reading?
Yes. Daryl actually did a painting that went, drawing, or no, what is it, pastels or something that goes with this, the unicorn?
Oh, the unicorn. Yes. That was from our workshop that I did on Wednesday. It was the last session of the intuitive method.
Yeah, and Daryl had to step out boldly and practice this stuff in order to ask for the right price for the class, to even do the class, to follow through. So.
Oh, man. So, here I got a ton of things on conscience. On conscience.
Yeah.
Follow your conscience. You know who said that, right?
Yep.
Who?
Jiminy Cricket.
That's right. He also said, no request is too extreme if your heart is in your dream.
That's great. That's straight out of the Bible, like what you think in your heart.
Yes.
I mean, you're like deep consciousness. Once your subconscious mind gets on board with this.
So I jotted down a bunch of ideas about conscience.
Yeah.
And I got, conscience is our higher power working to steer us toward our authentic life. Not the life I think I should be doing or I ought to do, but the one that really, where all my needs will be met.
Yeah.
And I will be enjoying myself. But it's very scary because the safe thing seems reasonable, but we got to be unreasonable when we trust our gut.
Yeah, our intuition.
Yes.
Because a lot of us inadvertently lent, I know for myself, I lent my conscience to somebody else's desires for me, yeah, which never works. So we have to like pull it back into ourselves and start listening. Because sometimes we mistake the fear, like you're talking about, of letting other people down. It's like because it is deeper in my consciousness and it can feel like that, but it's really masquerading is what we're talking about. We're talking about this inspiring voice that we can trust to provide for us in ways that we can then provide for others.
Yes, and we're talking about conscience versus conscious. Mm. So conscience makes us responsible for bringing life through action to spiritual principles. Now, responsible, the origin of the word means the ability to respond to spirit, which is our conscience and our intuition in the moment.
Right.
And I wrote, why? Because intuition and conscience, in many cases, takes a leap of faith. So, jumping ahead in my little book, these are just, remember, we recommend you, all of our listeners, do a morning routine. I'm going to read something from today, one of the morning readers we read from.
Mm-hmm.
And to just jump out of bed, throw on your helmet, and race into your miserable day is not being responsible to spirit. It's not
right.
You're not responding to your spirit. And discipline means going in a good way or following the loving leading. And it right. comes from the root word disciple.
Yeah, we actually once talked about, because I don't often use that word conscience. I've just, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, I was just thinking, we talked about this on a show long ago, that con means with and science.
Yeah,
and
it's with good science.
It's with, it's really acting from principle.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, that's
which is
it.
What our show is all about. And it's like everyone knows in the movie where the character is tempted yeah. to go along with everyone, even though it doesn't feel good.
Yes.
And then the hero always comes out to be the one who was willing to stay with their principles,
yes.
even when it doesn't look like there's a way. And then amazing transformations happen.
Yes, and their principles, it's not, we're not talking about bullying and getting
no.
our way. The principle turns out to be the loving direction of mm-hmm. God that doesn't affect anyone negatively.
No.
It may upset some people who are afraid,
yeah.
but in the long run, everyone is grateful that somebody stuck to the principle.
That's right, because if they're afraid, then they also, somewhere inside them, are crying out for this love. Because no one at the end of the day, if they could see it from this elevated perspective, that we recommend doing the morning routine. Because
yes.
if you don't do the morning routine or some form, you know, a meditation, I like the morning routine even better because we're not talking about 30-day meditation challenges. We're not talking about 10 days of silence. We're talking about every day, just a few minutes.
Yeah.
Every day to reconnect. Like, at the end of the day, sometimes if I... There's nothing I can do. I don't know what any of these books mean until I sit down, read a little bit, and meditate again, and come back to my conscience, come back to living with principle, because my brain gets all derailed. So there's no way that I, out of everyone that's ever practiced this, meditation and some sort of prayer and inspired reading, that's why they invented the daily word, because they're taking from these spiritual traditions so people could have a daily reading, something that was aligned with spiritual principle that they could read each day and affirm.
And get into a habit that's really going to be that's really going to transform your spirit. And it's better to do, first thing, I'll just put it this way. When you set the bar low, you're setting yourself up for success. And it's better to do 5 minutes to whatever length of time you do a morning routine, just 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is. It's better to do just 5 minutes a day than to do and commit to 40 minutes or a half hour. I got to do it on my half. Because now you're turning it into this decree that you got to stick to. And when you fall short, then you're going to feel bad. I'm just talking from my own experience. Yeah, uh-huh. And then you're not going to want to do it again. And then every time you think about it, you're going to beat yourself up about it until you get to the point, like we mentioned in the description, where you start justifying and rationalizing, bozos do that. I don't need that.
So what's so crazy, this is really mind-blowing. It was probably, what year is this? 2024. So I met you in 2007. So it was probably 16 years ago. That's crazy that I've known you that long. But I was literally sitting off to my left, in my left, talking to you on the phone when you asked me, do I do it every day, right?
Yes.
We're hoping we're still recording. You want to check? Let's just see.
No, because if I touch it, it'll shut off the recorder.
Okay, well, hopefully it's just the screen sleeping.
Yeah, I'm afraid if I hit it.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. This is our first go. For those of you listening through audio, we're just checking to make sure we're still recording video. But I was literally sitting 2 feet to my left here when you asked me if I do meditation and stuff every day. And that moment really changed my life in so many different ways, because unless you can answer just a quick yes, I know, since that day, because it's kind of like you with the military. It's no one had just asked me a simple question that I could think about in that way. And since that day, I think every day since that's what did I say, 16 years ago, I do it every day, no matter where I go. And
even when we travel, we take a few of the books with us.
Yeah, because one of the ways I was blessed, raised Catholic, I was praying every day because I was just a rote thing, right? But then I went my own way. My life started to get, like everyone, we have to find our own way. And so it's finding your way back to something simple that works for you. And that was the main thing. Now it was it wasn't someone else telling me. It was just the way you asked the question so simply, it allowed me to, it's a yes or no thing. And I had been hanging around with the people at University of Santa Monica, the spiritual psychology program, which has a lot of great tools, but also you get a lot of people there who go, I can't keep meditating. It's so complicated. Oh, I went to a 10-day with so-and-so and I got certified, but even the people who are certified don't have a simple enough practice where they just do it every day. And by the way, most people that call it a practice, they don't do it either.
Well, most people, if you can't just say yes. What's great about this is all these great teachers from the 1800s and the last century, they all made it it was something as ordinary, that's businessmen, police officers, it wasn't this thing that now it's this extreme thing.
Yeah, Unity was, we talked about homemakers, you're a teacher, you're whatever you are. And that is a big difference between the tradition of the stuff that we read and other stuff. There is no guru that knows any more about this than you, because there's no one can do it for you.
And your conscience is your guru.
Yeah.
We keep saying that.
That's right.
Genuine, like this says, conscience will lead you towards your authentic life. Genius, genuine, and genie are talking about your intuition. And genius is not, oh, he's a genius. The same people that go, oh, he's a genius, are the same people that go on the extreme meditation trips and then don't meditate. Because the tendency is to make this into something that it's a specialty item, and I go to a special place, and now I'm in a special group, or I could say I'm a member of whatever it is, but then you drop out of just doing it. We're saying, we don't care who you are, what you're doing, you have the ability to tap into this. And when you tap into it, and then by tapping into it regularly, you start really becoming aware throughout your day which way to turn, or I feel good about going here. Or I was on my to-do list to go to, I don't know, Costco tomorrow. Right. But I'm getting the hunch to go now. And you go now, and it's the one time Costco has no one in the parking lot.
That's right.
And you buzz through, and you could tell, you could feel it, like you're in harmony with this guidance. And that's letting the genie out of the bottle really just meant that. Letting the genie out from within you to guide you, to grant you your wishes. But you have to be willing to go in those directions when the genie says, hey, you got to go this way. There's a pot of gold this way. No, no, no. I got to stay here. I said I was going to wait here or whatever. And it's not easy to do.
Yeah.
I don't do it all the time. But here's the thing. Whenever I don't do it, things don't necessarily go terribly wrong. However, I go, I knew I should have listened to that hunch, right?
Yeah.
But God doesn't do spite work. It doesn't mean, oh, I ruined my whole life. Because here's the other good news. Now, the only time that matters is now.
That's right.
And we could reconnect with it. And if you're doing a morning routine and you're not turning this into something so odd and unique,
right,
then you'll be able to tap into it too throughout your day.
Yeah.
You know, meditating and doing a healthy meditation in addition to your morning routine is when you're driving. If you're listening to a spiritual podcast or a book on tape, because it's keeping your mind in this higher frequency of ideas that elevate your thinking above fear, doubt, worry, you know, condemnation,
right,
the other people in traffic. When I'm listening to those things, I notice everything changes. I'm more tolerant of the other drivers. I find myself relaxing and not needing to be in a hurry as much. And the more you do this, and it just becomes a regular item of your day, and that's what Jesus brought to the table, that this isn't something for unique people who have to go to 4 years of college or special training or sit with a guru. Yeah. He was saying, any of you can do this.
That's right.
Any of you. Let me read this unicorn
quick. Read that.
So this is from Emmett Fox. And the first thing I loved about this was I never knew unicorn was in the Bible.
I know. I was really surprised by that also.
So that was excitement number one. And the unicorn in the Bible actually is talking about these moments when we get a hunch, a joyful nudge. And it says, and if you have Around the Year with Emmett Fox, it's on September 8th. And it says, as long as we insist upon telling God his business, nothing very much can come of our prayers. What that means is I already know what I'm going to do and I'm going to do it. And then I just say, oh, God, thank you for everything. But right. I'm just plowing through life, trying to solve my own problems in my limited ways. I'm outlining, and it's usually negative because whenever I start outlining without bringing God into the equation, it's always worry and scheming.
Yeah.
If I do this, if I say that, maybe I should send this letter in, post-date this check.
Right.
You know, all that. I could just throw it out the window. So we're just saying surrender to God. And that's what he's saying. As long as we insist upon telling God his business, nothing very much can come of our prayers. The ox, the mule, the donkey will obediently pull your plow and your cart and take them where you want to go. But you have to know where that is and how to get there. The unicorn will not do chores. He will not pull a cart or turn a mill. He will not take orders. The unicorn knows where he is going, and it is always somewhere that you could not choose because you have never heard of it, and in your present consciousness, you could not even dream that such a place could exist. Nevertheless, there are such places, and the unicorn knows them, and it is not interested in anything less. Someday it may happen, probably when you least expect it, that the unicorn will suddenly appear at your side, eyes flashing, nostrils quivering, pawing the ground with impatience. When that happens, do not put a bridle on him or to look for some task for him to do. He will not do it, and there will not be time. No sooner, seemingly, has he appeared than off he will go again. So do not pause, but leap upon his back, for he is a flying steed, and he wings his way to the gates of the morning. On that ride, problems are not solved, they disappear. And then the Bible verse is from Job 39, and it's verses 9 through 10. Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow, or will he harrow the valleys after thee? So it's saying, don't be afraid of silly ideas. Let joy be your guide. Take that hunch.
Yeah.
Follow the joyful nudge. This is the hard part. We got to constantly remind ourselves that God's will for us is good. So that means these intuitive thoughts, which is God speaking to us from within, are directing me to good. I'm so much better at following these than I've ever been. Yeah. But there was a time in my life where I would never follow these.
Yeah.
Because they seemed so unreasonable.
Right.
And you can't see how going left when you know to go to someone's house, the shorter way is right, and you get a strong hunch to go left, is going to take you there. But if you go left because you have that hunch, you're either going to bump into someone on that ride that you haven't seen and you were supposed to see, or you're going to be passing by a garage sale and an item your wife has been wanting to get that's been hard to find is going to be right out in
front.
Or you're going to end up getting to your friend's house sooner than later. And when you get there, he's going to go, wow, I'm surprised you made it because they blocked off the other road to my house. Every single time. That's the unicorn.
Yeah, it's funny. Marianne Williamson, in today's reading, day 120, it says, on a self-organizing universe. This comes down to, I've been reading Raymond Charles Barker, The Power of Decision again, because we have to choose to follow it. Our power of decision. He talks about, like, basically, like, you can sit and meditate, and bless things, and there comes a time where you got to make decisions about what's what, you know. And like, so I used that this week, but she says the universe is both self-organizing and self-correcting. The invisible hand that makes our heart beat and our lungs breathe is at work on multidimensional levels, arranging not only the extraordinary physical processes that keep us alive, but also what we experience. Insights, relationships, improbable meetings, creative moments, falling in love, emotions, and miraculous occurrences. The universe, in fact, is one miracle after another.
Yeah.
One stroke of genius followed by another stroke of its genius in an endless flow of opportunity for life to fulfill itself. Even me reading this, and you're talking about genius, we didn't talk about what we were going to read before the show. The universe is intentional. It doesn't do anything by accident. The difference between the so-called natural world and you and me is that you and I can say no. The acorn doesn't have a choice whether or not to become an oak tree. The bud doesn't have a choice whether or not to become a blossom. But you and I do have a choice whether or not to allow life to fulfill itself through us. And the choice we make then determines not only who we will be in the world, but also the experiences we will have. And on I think it was, yeah, Thursday, I had an appointment with audiology for Kaiser because a couple of weeks ago, I talked about this on the show a month ago, my ear got so plugged and I couldn't hear. And it was all in my, like, it was more like, you know, when your sinuses or something, you're getting plugged. But in that moment, it was so, all this stress was coming out and she was like, well, do you have ringing or this or that? And I was like, I don't know. It felt so weird. I was like, I think, yeah, there's some kind of sound. It almost sounded like I was listening to a seashell because it was so plugged. So she's like, oh, I better send you to audiology. So at that time, I was like, I'll just, they're telling me I'll do it. But then I used the decongestants and it went away. So this week I was like, why would I go to an appointment at 5 p.m. on a Thursday when the issue's already been cleared? Right, and if I ever need to go, then...
You could always go.
But I literally used, because I was going, well, maybe I should. And I was like...
Can't hurt to go.
I was in the middle of, and I didn't make a decision. And Raymond Charles Barker says, if we don't make decisions, we are not adults. He says, if we, the best thing we could do is admit I'm just infantile right now, because he says, if we don't make a decision, he says, we're afraid of some symbol in our mind that's going to get mad at us or we're going to let down, whether it's mommy
just,
or whatever.
Yes, it's just a symbol in my mind.
Yeah, it was so I just said on my way to work, I was like, I decide I'm not going to that appointment.
Yeah.
I'm going to call them. So I tried. I called them and they weren't quite open. So I called them at 8:22. I talked to one branch, but they said the audiology is not open until 8:30. I get to school. I do a couple things. I go back to call them, and I got a message from the doctor saying, "I'm sorry, but we have to cancel your appointment at 5 p.m.
Isn't
today."
Isn't that amazing how that works?
And he's like, and it was the doctor.
Yeah.
Which is really hard to get a hold of. He's like, "Call me back." So I called him. He wanted me to come in at 12. I was like, "Well, doctor, one, I can't make it at 12, and two, I was already planning on canceling. This is what happened." And he was like, so I got to check in with him. And he's like, well, just keep the number if you ever need me.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect thing. I made the decision, and the universe immediately reflected it back to me. And then I did, so I've been making this decision. I can't wait to go to work. I can't, like, because I realize I've been very infantile in some parts of my life, afraid to just make decisions and afraid mommy's gonna be mad and like always apologizing to people for the work that I do, which is good work. I've been recognizing I can't sit around, because the other half of it is then looking around and waiting for mommy to tell me what we're gonna do next. All of that has not been working. So I just been, this is what I was saying, I have to turn over a new leaf in myself and like start saying, even if I'm like, almost like playing like a role, I say, I can't wait for work tomorrow. I can't wait. I have the best job. I can't wait. You know, I can't wait to talk to Daryl right now. I can't wait to talk to Krista. I can't wait to surf or whatever it is. And what's crazy is it's waking me back up to when I was younger and I used to like to skateboard when I was like 11. And what started out as me acting like a role turned into like, wait, this is how I actually used to feel all the time. Like excited to do things that I wanted to do. So making that decision to follow our intuition, it works. I mean, I was going to tell another story, but yesterday, let's just say, I made this decision that I'm making the decision, I'm the best teacher. I don't deserve to get punished by mom, because that's one of the things that's been a big sticking point of keeping me stuck in this job, is that there's so many mommies, literally moms, that are like I'm interacting with.
Well, and even the whole, all the bosses are big female
women. Yeah, yeah. So this has been, but I realize I will never get free of this place. You are not wrong. You are not wrong at all. But what happened was I made the decision, because I realized if I don't go home and affirm that I am a great teacher, that I am great at what I do, that's me still waiting for someone else, inadvertently still telling someone else. And then when it would come to meetings and stuff, I wouldn't have any leverage to feel good because I was inadvertently waiting for someone else to make the decision about. But since I've been making the decision that I'm the best at what I do, I mean, because you could say it, but until I finally
until you know we what I'm saying? Say it for ourselves.
And I'm blessed that you kept saying it long enough for me to finally like, you know, like, say it, Ed. And so I've been saying it. And all of those people, including some parents that the old part of me, because it's still in the background going like, what if they judge me? Those very people, I've had the most amazing, positive, like, One lady needed to sign a document. I saw, she just happened to be there. It was just too many positive things. I went to eat a burger at Rutz after school, and another parent came in, and she was so, and she said, "You're not going to believe this. I just thought of you before I got out of my car." It was just, the flow was just one thing after another, another. What do you think about, there's nothing, this is for our
three breaths.
Because when you're talking,
yeah, about, okay, yeah, let's do that now. And then we're gonna bring in our special guest.
I have one little, I'll read part of this letter and then we'll bring in the guest. Okay. But let's take a deep breath of karma. There's nothing odd about trusting God.
Say it out. There's nothing odd about trusting God.
There's nothing odd about trusting God. That dawned on me because I was thinking about so many spiritual things, when especially if you're like getting yourself back into spirituality, is inadvertently thinking you need someone or something outside yourself. Yeah. Like, I'm paying for this program. Like, that's my way of showing. It's like putting on a, you know, I'm putting on this outfit. That's my way. But the only real way is to sit and do your morning routine. Read the books.
If you do the morning routine, it's going to change your life.
Just do that for a few days in a row. And that, even though you may not get the initial high of like, I just paid for this and now I'm going to this. I went down that road so many times.
The purchaser's high.
The purchaser's high. But these things can't be purchased. It's already inside you. Yeah. You got to unlock it and let it go. Let's see. I'll read a quick.
The high you'll get is you'll see things in your life transform for the better. That's the high.
Yeah. And it's not odd. See, the thing is, the people that sell programs want it to seem even odder in a way because they want you to keep needing them. They want you to need something outside yourself. They may tell you, the end goal is to trust yourself, but everything gets set up to make you believe you still need some. And that's when it gets really confusing because you think you're doing it and the people are telling you, but they're just doing another version of, you know, Daryl, you're the first person who told me, con man means confidence, like gaining your confidence. And if they, so if you need someone to tell you, yes, I'm leading you down, like they'll tell you whatever, but it's still just another trick. But that's why we love these books from Unity. Like the whole program at Unity in particular, like back in when it was founded and for a long, long time was just, you need, anything you needed to live this way was accessible. They would send you it, a dollar at the most for like a beautifully bound book. You know, it's just like, and that's the spirit of this because they understood that when you give it, we understand, when I give it away, it comes back to me.
Wait, I told you this. Go ahead. I just gave that talk at Unity Ventura. Krista was there.
Yeah, you can go to our Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed Facebook page, and you can hear the talk. You might have to fast forward. When Daryl comes on, the mic was off for a few minutes, but fear not, they did fix it, so just fast forward a little bit.
But here's the thing. Someone who is a guru, I guess a coach.
Yeah.
So she's been trying to get in touch. She's started to get in touch with me. And
that's
the reason
she tends to do around
when she has a system to sell.
Yeah.
And she got in touch with me to ask me about, but it's very coy. It was, so you've been in the Daily, you've written for the Daily Word about, what, two times? And I said, no, actually 7 times. Wow, 7 times?
Wow.
And she's going, oh, so you just keep contacting them. I said, no, I never contacted them.
Yeah.
They've contacted me.
Right.
And she goes, oh, because I have a new system. And I said, well, I guess you could talk to them.
Right.
So then it came. Then she started saying, how I want to start sharing my program to Unity churches. So I said, okay. She goes, are you still in with Unity at Santa Barbara? And I said, well, I go there.
Yeah, Yeah.
I said, I go there. I said, I do know if you go on their website, you have to, if you want to be a speaker, you have to submit.
Right.
She was like, oh, okay, I could do that. And I was like, okay, good. But I did, because this was the week before I was speaking. I was like, see, now I'm trying to assume that people are on the same page.
Virtuous.
Yeah. So I said, well, if you want, I'm going to be at the Unity Ventura speaking. on Sunday, and you know she couldn't, she didn't make it. But then on Monday she got through. So how did it go?
Yeah,
you know, trying to keep the
connection, working the network.
And I said it was 5 stars, and then she said, "Oh, that's funny, because I was thinking of 5 stars this morning." And by the way, did they pay you for that? You know, I'm like, ugh. And so I didn't respond to that. And I'm thinking, I said yes because Kathy threw my name in the hat, and the high of sharing this stuff and then loving everybody there, like everyone there, I fell in love with.
Right.
And just how good I felt afterwards.
Yeah.
That's the reason. It's just because I love sharing it, because it works so well in my life.
Right. And the principles teach that if you do what you're here to do and be who you're here to be, that everything you need will be provided for you. That's why we don't have to weasel our way around.
No.
It's not fear of getting paid, right? It's trusting that the money will come that allows Daryl to float around and do things in this way. And that allows me and Krista and everyone who's practiced this stuff. All right, Lisa Smith said she's coming on the show next week, hopefully. We're at my house. I don't know where we'll be next week. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Your podcast lately have been really hitting home for me. This last week when you talked about using a treatment to end a situation and then speak God's truth, wow. I've recently come to the conclusion of a lifelong struggle I've dealt with based upon lies I bought into. Doesn't need to be. So true. Doesn't need to be. That's the important thing. Like, I've had to say that with my... Because the problems that I've kept around are the ones that I have somewhere in my mind said, this needs to be.
Yeah.
This needs to be. And it doesn't need to be.
Sounds just like Mama B. She taught you that? You guys, that was
coming out of
her voice. And even her mouth.
You're not wrong.
This needs to be this way, Edward. Sorry, but this is the way it needs to be.
I realized I got myself into this situation with stinking thinking. Therefore, I can get out of it with right-minded thought. I mean, I'm a Course in Miracles student, and it's all about changing perception. Course in Miracles teaches that God's will for me is perfect happiness, and peace and joy are my birthright. I have been praying over my situation by stating I'm done with it. I'm sending these false beliefs back into the nothingness from which they came, and I'm moving on. I now claim God's truth about myself. By doing this work, I'm removing the blocks to love's presence and claiming what is mine by divine right. I'm thanking God in advance. Thank you for reminding me to do that, for the changes about to manifest, and I am so excited to see what is coming my way. A Course in Miracles, Lesson 107. I rest in God. In Him I have no cares and no concerns, no burdens, no anxiety, no pain, no fear of the future, and no past regrets. And that's the foundation of Inner Peace Version. Keep up the good work of keeping us all in line for claiming God's promises in our lives. P.S. If you're ever short of guests, you know where to find me. All right.
And now.
Coming up next, today's guest, miracle-minded artist Krista Macavina, gets us to trust God more and fear less with today's reading. Tune in. Thank you for listening to Funniest Reading with Daryl and Ed from Ed's House.
We now return to The Funniest Thing. Here are your hosts, Daryl and Ed, the best-looking guys on the radio.
Welcome back. Yes. Today's show is called Trusting Your Gut is Trusting God with Krista Macavina. I've been reading this amazing book. Let me just read a couple chapters. Sit back while I read a couple chapters of this. Now, a couple paragraphs. It's called Dare to Believe by Mae Rowland. I've talked about it. Sometimes just this phrase, dare to believe, helps me through my day because I know when I'm being a weasel, I need to dare to believe. So I've been daring to believe. But she says at the end on page 134, we got to keep this stuff simple. That's the thing. Your mind is going to tell you that what's the use, this, that, and the other thing. But it's like the Daryl talked about pies one time. If you handle the spirituality for the spirit first, if you just meditate, do something simple, one thought, the rest, the physical, the emotional, and the intellectual will all take care of itself.
But as we take even one idea of truth and live with it and work with it, one idea, as we refresh our mind daily through prayer, we awaken our divine nature and a transformation begins to take place within us. Ideas of truth are stabilizing and helpful. It may be the thought, all things work together for good. Or it may be an affirmation, I am poised and centered in the Christ mind, and nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. Ideas such as these can become a basis for right reactions. They can help us to keep our thoughts and centered in the right direction. They can give us a focus for our energies so that we no longer fall into gloom, depression, or even despair. Life is yours to enjoy. You can control your moods and your reactions to life. You can make joy a habit. And then the person who ever had this before wrote, joy to the world.
Yes!
Yeah. That's a good one.
Well, Krista.
Yes.
This is usually when we ask our guests.
Yes.
Edward.
We know you've done a lot of preparation for the show, notes and such.
And no, listen.
Has anything popped up since you've been listening, sitting here?
You know, yeah. I know we talk about the daily routine, having our own daily practice.
yes.
As a way of getting lined up, as a way of getting centered. And I realized how important that is for me, because it does, like you were talking about, it kind of primes your intuition, it gets you grounded. My mom, when I was little, well, and even today, would say haste makes waste, and that, again, because I would go 100 miles a minute and like barrel into our day or my day, and right. I break things. That's what it would mean, like if you're working too fast, you kind of make messes.
Yeah.
And so like having that daily practice slows you down, so you get lined up, so that you're calm and you can handle things a little better. I mean, if you're scattered and chaotic and running into your day without being grounded, that's when mistakes happen. I mean, yeah. I've seen it in my life both ways, you know. So I, it's invaluable, and it builds over time. At least for me,
like yes.
the longer I do it, the less flappable I am.
Right.
I guess. And then when things happen that knock you off guard, because they will, you know, sad things are going to happen, hard things are going to happen, you know, mm-hmm. you're going to have losses, whatever. But if you have that higher set point to return to, like if you have like, okay, well, what's in my toolbox? I got my gratitude. I've got friends who I can call on who practice these principles and who can like get me back in the ring. I can call on Silent Unity for prayer. I can read something. I can listen to something in the car. The meditation every day, mm-hmm. you know, writing things down, writing affirmative prayers down. All of that then kind of bolsters where you are and helps you weather things that are going to come. I mean, they just do, you know.
Yeah.
But how the impact of them is varied depending upon what you have in practice.
Well, it also changes showing up for things that I don't necessarily want to do.
Right.
It turns those into a spiritual practice.
Yeah.
Because my mind switches from, this is something I didn't want to deal with today.
Yeah.
yeah.
Or this was unexpected. Why do I have to deal with this?
Right.
Into, my mind now switches quicker into, okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay, what wonderful things, I'm going to surrender to this and see what comes of it, instead of, because once I allow that, I'm already now shrinking and my everything's getting sour. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to one of these speakers. I can't remember who it was, but it wasn't from that long ago. It was, I think it might have been Joseph Murphy. And he was talking about how you gotta treat yourself, if you need to, as you're playing a role in a movie. What character portraying yourself as?
Yes.
Are you portraying yourself as the guy who goes, oh no, this is, do you want to be that character in the movie? Yeah. Because that's all this is.
Yeah.
It's all it is. And when you change the character that you're going to portray in the movie in each situation, well, then you're going to get the outcome that that person in the movie would get.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh,
that's right.
Absolutely. In fact, I saw that recently. Well, because, you know, I've been dating someone. And unfortunately, you know, we had a breakup and I was distraught. And luckily, I didn't want to call on you guys. And I the day after it happened. Of course, I've been crying, and then the ugly cry with the ugly face. And the next morning, I'm like, I was supposed to go and be a part of a panel discussion for this art exhibit. I had a piece in. And the show is about trauma and resilience. You know, I mean, that's my piece. So I'm like, I can't make it. And so, Daryl, you said to me, like, you know what? If you can try, if you can maybe just think about going, you don't know who you might uplift. And I'm like, okay.
Or who you might meet.
Who I might meet or where it might lead. And so.
That's right.
And it was for you because it was about trauma and upliftment. You just went through a traumatic.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, all right.
You're the best teacher.
I was like, perfect. If you're going to be resilient, be resilient. And so I went. And now And the thing is, like, with following through on these things, you might not see the result of your following through on the hunches right away. Like, I showed up, I did the talk, I met some lovely people, I talked with some after, but like, I don't know if
you don't know what the ripple effect
I don't
is.
Know the ripple effect, but sometimes you just have to show up and go with it.
Yes.
And see what happens.
What about the miracle of what your friend said and the name of the piece?
Yeah.
Oh, about being a, what?
No, remember the name.
One of my friends was talking. You know, he was again giving me wise counsel, and he said, "Well, you know, I think he, you know, the man I've been dating. He's like, well, I think he has a lot to unpack." And I said to him, "I said that's the name of my piece that I had. The piece in the show was a lot to unpack.
Where you were gonna go speak?
That was I gonna go speak." So it, you know,
I'm like,
all right, I don't know how things are going to work out, but at least I showed up. And you know what? Maybe you don't see a ripple effect for 10 years. You know, maybe someone will say something to you later, or I would have met someone there that leads to another experience. But either way,
it's all positive though. Cause you even felt better.
Yeah. I felt better because, you know, you want to nurture yourself. You don't want to cut your feelings off. I mean, that's not healthy, you know, but also I don't like to feel bad. Like, I don't like to feel sad. I don't like to wallow.
Yeah,
no. You know, it feels yucky. So it was better that I tapped into all of my tools. And I used all the tools. And just kind of get up and go.
Well, that's what Daryl and I talk about this a lot. Like, our minds, my mind might have me pinned, like, all through the night almost. And it's like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
It's telling me this stuff. But as soon as I get to the morning routine, the whole thing resets.
Yeah.
And now, like, it's kind of like the Einstein, it relates to the Einstein quote of deciding, like, the ultimate decision, the primary decision we have to make is.
Is this a friendly universe?
Is this a friendly universe? Right. I think that was my coffee pot. Right. I just heard something beep. Is this a friendly universe? So if it's a friendly universe, what happens if I stop identifying, like, what if I can stop identifying with the part that thought it needed to shut everything down and stop living? That whole me was based on it being an unfriendly universe. Mm-hmm. What if I'm in a friendly universe and actually showing up, like, not beating, but being kind to myself and still just engaging with life? What if I do that, which is what I've been doing, because I'm changing my whole, I feel it's like the weirdest paradox. Like, the way for me to get through this job, I keep hearing, like, the stuff Daryl says, if you don't love this one, you're gonna keep having it. So I'm just like, while I'm here, and the thing is, the more I love it, the more I can see myself leaving easier because I remember that I'm good at it. I have all these skills. When I show up, like on yesterday, all of a sudden, because I feel good about myself, but it's a different kind of good. It's like, I'm connected to the universe. God is moving through me. So now I'm helping the principal. Because I'm the expert. I'm helping the assistant principal. And they're thanking me, like, thank God. And I'm, like, doing stuff that's not even my, quote, job. But it's blessing the people that I was afraid of. The parent that I saw who was like, oh, we're having a problem signing that. It turned out my mind's running was, right, like, that fearful part that identified as, I heard guy or something, you know. And that guy saw, they haven't signed it because they're sitting there going, you know, what that guy Ed's doing. Is it, you know, but then I remember, wait, once I started loving myself, they always lag on signing stuff. They just don't sign stuff. So then all of a sudden I'm at school and the assistant of the student that I work with, who I love this guy. I love this kid. Of course I'm the best person because I love this kid. We get along. I know what I'm doing. I see, and it turned out he was his birthday the next day. So his mom brought treats at the end of the day. And the whole thing was so set up by God. I walk in, And I wasn't even going to ask her about the paperwork. I was just like, I don't want to be afraid of this person. And I've been blessing her and her husband, like, in my prayers, seeing them as loving people. Like, just get, not even like, God, make them. Just, no. I love them. They're just people. Like, letting go of any story. So I see her. I'm like, oh, my God, it's so good to see you. I'm so excited to start working with your son in this way and that way. The son comes in, and he's on the spectrum. And so in that, you know, traditionally, those kids, like last year, he spent all of his time kind of running around. He didn't have a lot of friends or any, like he wasn't interacting with. This year, it's been a miracle. All the blessings have been working. He comes in and he goes, oh my God, mommy, gives her a hug. And then he goes, these are all my friends and I want you to meet all of my friends. So there's it. Not only did God take away like the fear, I actually let go of the fear. God didn't take away the fear. I let go of the fear so that God could show me something totally different. And then show, the mom could see me loving her son, and I could see that the mom had nothing against me all along. Like, because until I get rid of the stuff that's me lashing me, I do know, like, it's going to keep, that's, yeah, it's going to keep finding me. And I also, like, appreciate the fact that Daryl reminds me that it's not just me, though. That environment is full. Like, it's not like, I'm going to stay here because of that. But it's this combination of blessing it and letting, really affirming who I am as not being that victim. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. Is that, because I came out through, originally through Catholicism and praying, but then through psychology. But a lot of it was just, I feel like as I get more and more experience using this stuff, it's so much less me doing anything, and more the things I do right, or to get me to stop doing what I used to do, and get me to trust that God is doing it, and it never stops. That's right. The principal part. God never stops. God never goes along with this idea that I'm being punished or anything like that. So, like, because when we go start our day and start running and doing things out of fear, when I do that, it's not just like, that's the way I do it. I'm doing that because I'm believing a voice inside me that's telling me horrible things. I mean, we may have gotten so used to it that we go, no, I'm not really thinking anything. No, there's someone in that head. It's not me.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, now it's taken over my brain, but it's not really me saying, the place is going to burn down. No one loves you. This or that. And it's like, so it's, that's why, like, if you use muscle and, like, will to overcome that, eventually you're going to have to, it's not going to last. Because inside there's still a scared, hurt voice that needs to be addressed and released.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to have to keep going down that road. Or practice this way, which is about, like, revealing what God is already doing, recognizing there's no reason to run or be afraid. No one's actually saying any of that stuff that my mind thinks people are saying. And it turns out I'm actually the expert in this field. And like Daryl always tells me, as a teacher, I'm the expert. Oh my God, I've been doing this 27 years. Who knew that I'm really good at what I do, you know? Like, but it doesn't matter what anyone else knows. It matters what I like. Am I listening to that conscience that Daryl was talking about within myself that is loving? That's the key to it. It's loving. And the fear is like, oh boy, I wonder what's going to happen kind of fear. It's a different kind. It's like letting go of all that old littleness. Yeah.
Well, that's why discipline isn't willpower. Discipline is surrender to believing everything's good. You can surrender.
Yes.
And just do stand on principle, because following your conscience in that setting too is being able to, in spite of all the other teachers saying, no, he's on the spectrum, he has no friends, he's genetically going to be this way forever. You have to go, wait a minute, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Like, because most teachers go, okay, I don't want to lose my job, I'm going to go along with it. No, sorry, your son is on the spectrum, he's going to be this way forever, and he's not going to have friends, so we're going to have to learn how. Yeah. That's what they, but Ed has to go, I can't do that. And you have to be able to go, no, you can have friends.
Yeah.
And now he has all these friends.
Yes.
That's following conscience.
I'm glad you're saying that, because what people don't understand, they're not really on the spectrum. They're just a unique person. Because people that study it too often and they're they don't have what we're talking about, and they still, they victimize the person in another way.
Yeah.
Like an understanding victimization.
Yeah.
But I don't look at that at all, and I'm like, no, this kid is blessed.
Well, it's doesn't. Who he is. It's not real.
No.
It's either you can't, because look, if this is a true condition, then it's been true forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. But they didn't label anyone on the spectrum when I went to school nine. There was no spectrum.
Right.
However, there was me. There was all oddballs. And,
yeah.
But what they did was they never said, you're on the spectrum. This is all you can expect to do.
Right.
They didn't say, this guy's a genius. He's going to go further than
right.
you. Everyone was treated with encouragement.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't go, okay, well, he's on the spectrum. We're just going to have to stick him in this room with this weird teacher. And everybody else is going to know. Then all these kids know, oh, yeah, he's a weirdo kid because he's in that room with that teacher. It really starts to shrink everything.
Yeah.
When all psychology and all these experts in all these fields will tell you praise and encouragement break these laws of reason.
Yeah.
And not just in this arena, but even doctors say it about patients that seem incurable.
Right.
The ones with the more positive outlook.
Yeah. That's exactly what my doctor said.
Yes.
Right? Just outlook is such a big part of healing. I'm like, yeah. Cool.
It's
I'll do,
big
do the best
part.
I can. Yeah.
And this is, and we could take it a step further and go, well, maybe it's the biggest part of healing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Because it's a receptivity to an energy that can't help but heal. It's our body can't help but respond to the healing. When our mind changes, it has to heal.
Funniest thing, folks. I got two readings.
Let's hear it. While you're doing that, let's be clear. Like, I see what people are saying when they say that person doesn't
speak. Of course.
So, but the difference is I don't have any limitation based upon that. So,
right.
So, and what's crazy is that people that tend to fall under that reflect the beliefs of the people around them more than most. So, I met a new young man in kindergarten. This was one of the, like, God just sent me to this person at this time to help the situation where all the adults were tantruming. They wouldn't call it that, but they were just like, eh. So I jumped in. I worked with this young man, and I was like, wow, this kid doesn't, like, he is so smart, and he writes well, and he could do math.
So why were
they? But it's
just
boring for him, but because he's so advanced. But his teacher was convinced that he can't write well. His teacher told the occupational therapist, which is the lady who can help people that have challenged writing, who I know, who's amazing, told her he can't write well. He has dysgraphia. I guess that's what it means. And so I didn't know that.
Right.
And I saw him write. I was like, he writes like an artist. He could write. He could write neatly. He can write like script. He can do whatever he wants. So, but what he also told, the student who's only like 5 or 6, told the occupational therapist, because he trusts her, because she's so loving. He told her, my teacher hates me and everyone in there hates me. So what, he can't write in there.
It feels horrible. You're congested.
And he's angry. Yeah. He's like twisted. Yeah. He's scared. So, and then there was a kind woman that worked with him, a young lady that I know, a young woman. And he told that. And so this little guy, he's like 5 or 6, told the occupational therapist, she is the most beautiful worker at this school. And it's because she loved him and encouraged him. But like that level of awareness and like,
but that's in all of us.
They need to meet a loving person.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, this kid is able to recognize whether, more than anything else, whether you are a loving person.
Yeah.
Like, are you in a loving state of mind?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love the kid. It's like,
yeah,
I get why he doesn't want to do stuff if it feels like he's being hated, you know? Like,
that's the problem. And that's like when I used to think, they're just getting my hopes up.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is to get the hopes up. But I got so cynical after a while.
Yeah.
And like, this is just getting my hopes up. What good is that?
Right.
So listen to this. This is from Florence Scovel Shinn. The magic path of intuition.
Nice.
This is lesson 5, health and happiness. A harmonious person is never vibrating at the same rate as a germ. Health and happiness go hand in hand. Ill health is caused by inharmony. A teacher never asks a student, what's the matter with you? He asks, who's the matter with you? As long as anyone can cause you to be angry, resentful, irritable, sad, etc., a harmful reaction takes place in the cells of your body, producing some sort of dis-ease, as Ed likes to call it.
Oh, yeah.
And then, speaking about conscience and trusting she gives a great affirmation. The universal power is my ship. I now sail fearlessly in unknown seas. Many people are afraid of new undertakings. They are panic-stricken by the idea of doing something different, even though old conditions are unbearable. Sail joyously in the unknown seas. Arrive in your promised land. People wear out doing the same things every day. Have some interesting recreation to use a new set of brain cells. The spirit is pure intelligence upon which man draws to tune in. Mm. With the fixed idea that your supply comes from infinite intelligence, you will always be provided for in both big and little ways.
So true.
Oh, I like that one.
It really is in like the brain. You know, like you talked about, it's like in the back of my brain, there's like that tense, fearful voice. Yeah. And it's like, it's not letting in. It's not even letting in the fullness of the brain. It's just like little thing back in that back there, like holding like a knot. And I've heard that's also where zeal comes from. When that part is
flowing
open, then it turns into zeal.
I can't believe it. Because look what, I just opened this. And here's the other part. Because she says infinite intelligence. And that's conscience and intuition. The great magician. Mm-hmm. You ready, folks?
Yes.
Okay. There is no limit to the good that God has prepared for man. Only doubt or unbelief shuts off the power within each man. However, faith turns the power on again. So it is necessary to do everything to develop faith in that power. Sometimes a new affirmation or a new idea will suddenly give you the realization, which is manifestation. In one of my classes, I explained that it was necessary to become as a little child in order to be a good demonstrator and bring in the element of play. Then I said, let us look upon the universal power as a great magician and draw out of his hat whatever we desire or require.
Yeah.
I love that because it makes it sound like fun.
Yes.
It's more like it's no secret that she wrote, you know, The Game of Life and how to play it. Like to have it like a game, like what wonderful thing is going to come of this? I have a friend who, he and I like to talk about the magic of how things line up and how the coincidences, all the funniest things. And you start to feel like everything is lining up the way. Everything's magic. And that's exactly what
we were talking about it before the show, that it's really recognizing that it's always happening, and then when it feels like it's not, that becomes the indicator, I got to do something to get back on the beat.
You're right. That's exactly what we were talking about. Like if things feel yucky, if things feel out of alignment, or if the magic doesn't seem to be happening as much, I'm probably looking in the wrong direction. I'm not noticing the things that are lining up.
And I've been getting better at during the week of going, taking a moment, and just, it's like a very different calm voice that I have to insert in the midst of the noise and go, wow, I had a great drive today. Yeah. This worked out, and then this worked out, and then this worked. I have to connect the dots in a way. Like, don't disturb all the fearful buzzing around going up there, but just point it out to myself. Because that story is going to help me lead to the next part. That's by catching on to the fact that it's working, even though that noise is buzzing around and saying it's not, that there's no reality to it. There's no truth to it. Mm-mm. I mean, the truth is that it is always lining up, and it's just not dramatic. I think in the past,
it's in a good way.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good feeling I don't know what the origin of the word dramatic is, but it's a good feeling, like, whoa, wow, wonder of wonders, as we learned that wow is an acronym
for wonder of wonders.
Wow, wonder of wonders, it's working, and it's always been working. That's the beauty of it. Well,
think about how I met you and Daryl. Like, I mean, I know we've talked about this on the show before, but I've been listening to your podcast for a while. I happened to be in Culver City with a friend. We got ice cream. We parked the car to eat the ice cream. I look up and I'd seen your picture. And I'm like, I think I know that guy. And it was Ed. I'd never met him before, but you were doing what you needed to district take care office. Of yourself. You were outside of the office meditating. So you lined up. And then all of a sudden, I got to meet you.
And you had ice cream.
You know, I had ice cream, so I was happy. That's amazing. And here we are friends all these years later. And it's definitely added to my life.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, do you want to read?
Oh.
Now, let people know, Joyce Kramer is not Joyce Meyer.
No.
If you've been thinking, Darren, they're reading that Joyce Meyer. No, Joyce Kramer is old, no longer with us.
Unity minister.
Yeah,
who really lived this stuff, and her writings just kick you right upstairs.
Yes.
So that's why we've been reading from them lately.
They're very calm and sweet and grounded.
So, and also with authority that, like, we have to make decisions. Yes. We have to decide.
Coincidentally, I started listening to The Power of Decision on the ride down here.
Wow.
Anyway.
Raymond Charles.
We're no longer surprised by these things. Okay, Tuned In by Joyce Kramer. The worldly opinions of others have no effect upon me, for I am tuned in to the peace of God within my being. The negative words and actions of others may claim our attention. They may seem to drown out the inner voice of truth within. At such times, we need to hold fast and concentrate on what we know in our hearts to be true and good. This is not the easiest thing in the world to do, especially as others get more and more emphatic in stating their worldly opinions. But just in the way that we tune into one instrument in an orchestra, following its melody alone, so can we tune in to the divine guidance within, blocking out all other sounds. If we jump from truth to negation, we are rocking our lifeboat, so to speak. For what we think upon molds our lives and affairs, our health, our happiness, our prosperity. We will have smooth sailing as we keep ourselves centered always upon the presence of God within us and about us, as we listen only to God's voice when making decisions and forming opinions. Practice daily. Through practice, we will become strong. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And that last line was from Isaiah 26:3.
There you have it.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, you know, we have a little story about you.
Anything else you want to say before we tell the story?
Tell the story.
The good thing is, Indy's not around, so we're not going to get charged for an extra 3 hours if we go a little long.
Oh, no. How long is the story?
No, it's not that long. But it was, this happened last week?
Yeah.
Oh.
She's been feeling very frisky ever since she found out.
She started
tuning into her joy. Yes.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Blushing.
Krista had to go to the dentist last week. Oh, wait. You're supposed to read this part.
I am?
No, I was like backing out of the room. Like... Okay.
I'm scared now. All right. Go on.
Krista had to go to the dentist. Well, she's been drowning out all those negative voices, those fearful voices lately. Like, not listening. She's been listening to the unicorn. She's been making the inspired choice. Krista had to go to the dentist last week, where it was discovered she had a cavity that needed to be filled. The dentist asked Krista,
"Young lady, what kind of filling would you like for that tooth?"
Krista thought for a moment, then replied,
"Chocolate, please."
That is more true than you know.
Oh, wait. You actually have it here. It's already here.
What do we have here? Oh, I laid it in there. I didn't print this out until we... that's the beauty of being at Ed's house. Wow. Well, I want to thank the wife for the vintage setup here.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. This has been
fun. We forgot to thank Jeff Comfort.
Each week,
he takes us
right into the comfort zone. Yeah. Well,
as the great words of the guru.
He knew how to hop on a unicorn, didn't he?
He had no problem hopping on a unicorn and dressing like one, too.
That's true. I'm a shooting star, leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car passing by like Lady Godiva.
I'm gonna go, go, go. There's no stopping me. I'm burning through the sky, yeah. 200 degrees, that's why they call me Mr. Fahrenheit. I'm traveling at the speed of light. I want to make a supersonic man out of you. Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now. If you want to have a good time, just give me a call. Don't stop me now.
Because I'm having a good time.
Don't stop me now.
Yeah, I'm having a good time.
I don't want to stop at all.
Visit DarylNed.com to find easy
Crystal
links.
Crystal Lacamina, thanks for coming.
Don't stop me.
Hey.
Don't stop me.
Hoo. I like it.
Don't stop me. Have a good time. Don't stop me. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now. If you want to have a good time, just give me a call. Don't stop me now.
Because I'm having a good time.
Don't stop me now.
Yeah, I'm having a good time.
I don't want to stop at all.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you for listening to The Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed. Listen in as these unlikely saints share more real-life stories of how surrendering to divine order always leads to better-than-expected outcomes. This program has been made possible by God through automated monthly transfers from Daryl and Ed's credit cards.